Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we try to understand the priorities in life Jesus gave his followers. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that, through Scripture and your Son Jesus, you have made yourself known. Help us to hear what it is you call us to do, so that we may walk in your ways and bring glory and honor to you. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our readings for today are from the Gospels of John, chapter 12, verse 23 to 26, and Matthew 16, 24 to 27. They are both from the NIV. Reading then from the Gospel of John. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And now from Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. It would appear from both these readings, Jesus was saying that the tighter we hold onto what this life has to offer, the easier it seems to slip away into meaninglessness and great eternal loss. Reminding us of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, where it says, "Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever." Someone once said that the heart of Christianity says that you haven't given God anything until you have given God everything. Meaning that we are, at very least, to have the mind to be fully given to God as he continues to work in us to transform us into the likeness and image of his Son, Jesus Christ. In our readings, the words of Jesus echo a similar sentiment, compelling us to understand our lives in this world in a particular way. Namely, that we are not here for our own ends, but entirely for God's purposes. For some, this sounds onerous and even intrusive, but in reality, it is our greatest joy when we live with this attitude of total commitment in all spheres of our lives. This is not to say that we should not have the desires for a future, a job or profession, a family, along with the things that aid us in the pursuit of life and happiness as God's people. Even in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God confirms this, saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." But it is a future which is shaped by God's purposes. God takes that which would be utterly meaningless and turns it into a beautiful gift in his hands, in both our present existence and in his presence beyond this life. Ultimately, it is about where everything fits into our lives in relation to our walk with God, and how we should employ the things which God has blessed us with so that we may move ever closer to the ideal which says that a Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ loves, a voice through which Christ speaks, a hand through which Christ helps. In all of this, we understand that to die to self, To take up our cross and follow Christ is to know his joy and be honored and rewarded by the Father. And while we are here, he uses us to be instruments or conduits of his mercy and grace, all the while caring for us and making us whole in our relationship with him and others through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in us. Thus, living for God and serving him is not simply a chore, but our highest calling. This is how Paul understood his life in God's hands in Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24, as he was saying farewell to the elders of Ephesus. He said, "And now, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit has warned me that prison and troubles wait for me. But I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me. I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news about the grace of God." Now, we may not be called to do what Paul or the other early disciples were called to do, but we should at least have a biblical view of our purpose as Christians in this world. That we too are on a mission with work that the Lord Jesus gave us to do, which includes communicating the good news about the grace of God. All this to say that the gift of salvation we have received should elicit a response from us, which transforms our general outlook on life from one of living to be a somebody in the eyes of the world to living so as to serve Christ and rather gain his approval. As we come back to our readings, I want to focus on John chapter 12, where Jesus says four things. The first thing has immediate reference to himself, but may easily and quickly be applied to our lives. The second thing has to do with our value system as people of God. The third has to do with our focus in service. And the final thing that Jesus mentions serves to motivate us. All these things underscore the main theme, that our lives should be focused on God's kingdom. Again, this sounds tough, but it really is a matter of stewardship. So let's recap and look at these issues briefly. Consider firstly the seed that needs to die. The wheat analogy illustrates a general paradoxical principle that death is the way to life. In verse 24, Jesus was talking about himself and the need for him to lay down his life because he knew that his death and resurrection would give birth to the church, countless millions of believers entering into God's kingdom redeemed by his atoning death. But this also has relevance for us, since God calls us to lay down our lives, our private agendas, in submission to his lordship, his agenda. This is reflected in the Lord's Prayer as well. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This involves us. The second thing Jesus says is, to keep my life, I need to give it away. In verse 25, Jesus makes a statement that is so contrary to how the world operates, which is to clamber to the top of the pile at all costs, even if it means others may be harmed in the process. In God's kingdom, however, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. For someone to hate his or her life means to be so committed to Christ that one has no self-centeredness and no concern for oneself. And this is so hard because people will have their version of what an acceptable level of commitment to God's agenda should look like. Instead of admitting that there is some bias in our views, let's be honest in the face of Scripture and what we are called to. Else, how will we be transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus? The call of Jesus is to lay down our life and take up the life of the cross. Following hard on the heels of this is the third thing Jesus implied. Service is not simply about doing the good I want to do. It is about doing the good he wants me to do, when he wants me to do it, and how he wants me to do it. All too often, people immerse themselves in works that they find pleasing to do, because it is the easy thing to do. But is it the thing God called them to do? It is not for nothing that Jesus said in verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." Thus, true servants of Jesus will minister in exactly the right place, at the right time, and with the effectiveness the Holy Spirit intended. But this, with the other things we have looked at, is an aspect or function of our spiritual growth. The main thing is that we are headed forward in God's direction, with a heart for God's agenda. Finally, Jesus speaks about our being honored. Jesus grants us this assurance that whoever will serve him, the Father will honor. There is tremendous reward to a life spent in Christ's name. Florence Nightingale at 30 wrote in her diary, and I'm quoting, "I am 30 years of age, the age at which Christ began his mission. Now, no more childish things, no more vain things. Now, Lord, let me think only of thy will." End quote. Years later, near the end of her illustrious, heroic life, she was asked for her life secret, and she answered, "Well, I can only give one explanation. That is, I have kept nothing back from God." This, as I said earlier, is a matter of stewardship, how we spend ourselves, our time, our talents, and our treasure. "For," said Jesus, "what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" So, what in the world can we keep? Nothing but what God rewards us with when we enter his presence at the end. So may God help us to foster a biblical view of our purpose as Christians in this world, that we are in fact on a mission, doing what the Lord Jesus gives us to do, which includes communicating the good news about the grace of God. May God help us as we do so. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you taught your disciples that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Therefore, grant us the strength and wisdom to serve and follow you this day and always. Amen. And God bless you.